This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 33.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. If you're a regular listener to the Soulful PR Podcast, you've probably picked something up about me already, and that's that I'm a big freedom enthusiast. I've been self-employed for 15 years now, and I will be really hard-pressed to go back to working in an office, having regular colleagues day to day, and having a boss, and having to ask for time off, all that kind of stuff that comes with the 9-to-5 type lifestyle. So I'm really excited today to have another freedom enthusiast on the show. I had Natalie Sisson in episode 9, who also runs a freedom business. So I've got Jill Stanton, who with her husband Josh runs a business that basically allows them to travel all over the world and see the world while running a really profitable business, essentially from their laptops. And one of the things that's worked really well for them in terms of building their business and building their influence and attracting clients and all the things that make a business work really well has been Facebook groups. And Jill's going to be talking about how she's used Facebook groups to build her community, to attract clients, to create this really great online business and a whole lot more. So really, really excited to hear what she's got to say. But before we get to the main part of the show, just wanted to mention something. I'm currently enrolling for my Soulful PR coaching program. So that's my 12-week online program where I take a group of people who want to learn basically how to do PR for their business or brand. I walk you through week by week what it takes really to get really great press coverage, what journalists are looking for, how to put pictures and press releases together, how to sort of negotiate with journalists when they come back to you, how to just work out basically what you need to do to get really great coverage. And I'm there kind of holding your hand while you're writing your pictures, while you're putting together those press releases, while you're having those conversations with journalists to give you any support that you need. So in the program, everybody gets a one-to-one coaching session every week. There's also a group session where I bring in journalist colleagues and editors who can talk about how things work on their publications or programs and just give you a real live insight into the world of the media. So it's really interactive, really kind of practical. I just like to get everybody kind of basically rolling their sleeves up and having a go. I've had really great results with my first two cohorts. Between them, they've got coverage in Guardian, The Telegraph, The Sunday Times, The Huffington Post, The BBC. They've been all over the place and they're still getting coverage off the back of it. So if that sounds like something that you're interested in, do head over to the show notes at janetmurray.co.uk/episode33. where I'll link to more details on that. And if you're interested, then we can set up a call. I like to talk to everybody before I enroll somebody on the program, just to check that we're a good fit for each other. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/episode33. So now on with the main part of the show. Joining me on the show today, I've got Jill Stanton. Now, Jill's originally from Toronto in Canada, but now she travels the world running a business from her laptop with her husband, Josh, basically teaching other people to do exactly what they did, which is screw the 9-to-5 and create a fantastic freedom lifestyle. So welcome to the show, Jill.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm pumped to be here.
So it'd be great if you could just start by telling us a little bit about you and how your business came about.
Yeah, so it's like this weird, windy journey, as I'm sure so many people's businesses are, but I'll save you half the story and I'll just start from where Josh and I decided to go into business together. So back in early 2012, we were each kind of disenchanted with our individual businesses at that point, and we decided to start a business together. Now, we got started with affiliate marketing because we didn't really know what to focus on. We just, like, I had never really even set up a proper website online that made money. Like, I had websites, but it had never really made money. And Josh at the time had a software company and all that kind of stuff. So we decided to get started with affiliate marketing because it seemed like the quote unquote easiest thing to do. It wasn't. But also, this was the year that we were getting married. So hot tip, never start a business with your fiance the year you're getting married, because shit tends to get really real that year. But we just kind of plowed through it. Like, we just kept testing, seeing what works, working our butts off, and then replicating the process. And we pretty much just kept at it until we had about 30 different sites. And by the time our wedding rolled around, you know, we had been at it for nearly a year at that point. And we were at the point where we were making some decent cash and people in our lives were like, what are you guys doing? Do you have jobs anymore? Like, are you making money? What's happening here? And so we kind of had that moment. Actually, it was on our wedding week in Costa Rica, probably the only week you shouldn't be working. But we were just kind of talking, going back and forth about sharing what we were learning and this crazy journey and everything that goes into it. And, you know, how people are stuck in their jobs and they feel like they have to live this life and it's kind of not the life they want to live. And I was just like, yeah, screw the 9 to 5. And we're like, oh,
that's it.
So we kind of registered it right then and there while in Costa Rica for our wedding. And we kind of sat on it for a bit because we didn't really know what to do with it. You know, we just had this idea and we're like, yeah, that would be an awesome idea. But now what?
Right.
So it really was kind of, I mean, we didn't launch it until April or so, 2013. And for a good 18 months or so, we just kind of winged it. Like we had no direction and no clarity. And so we stumbled and we failed heaps. And it really wasn't until we started really getting clear. And I would say even like maybe early to mid 2015 that we finally found our feet and really figured out what we're all about and who we serve and all that kind of stuff. And then it started to click. So it's been a long, windy, somewhat exhausting road, but so freaking worth it.
Wow. And what an inspiring story. And whereabouts have your travels taken you over the last few years?
Together we've gone... Well, we lived in Australia and then we went to New Zealand and Cook Islands and then Toronto and then China, Malaysia, Thailand. We've been to the Philippines, Cambodia, Dominican, of course, wow. Because that's where we escape the winter when we're in Canada, Costa Rica, Portugal, Mexico. We just moved back from Mexico. Lots of places.
Really. Wow. And you're back in Toronto at the moment.
Yeah. Clearly, we're insane because we came back at the end of January. Like, what kind of Canadian am I? I come back right in time for the dead of winter.
Blimey. And so the reason I really wanted to get you on the show is I heard you being interviewed. I mean, I've heard you being interviewed, I think, a few times on Natalie Sisson's show, The Suitcase Entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And I heard you a while back, I think, talking about guest posting. But then I heard you recently talking about Facebook groups. And I have to say, I was quite blown away. Obviously, this is the Soulful PR podcast. So we talk a lot about getting traditional media. We talk a lot about getting in newspapers, magazines, radio and TV. But actually really keen on talking about all the other ways that you can promote yourself and your business. And I was absolutely blown away really by how you'd used Facebook groups in order to attract leads, to build influence, just to create this amazing community that's obviously, you know, built this really profitable business for you. So how did all of that come about? Because, I mean, when I speak to people about Facebook groups, I mean, I get quite mixed kind of reactions. And some people say, oh, they work really well for me. Some people say, oh, not so well. I wouldn't go near it. So how did that all come about?
Well, mostly it was kind of out of frustration, to be honest. Like, I was so sick of just talking at people, you know, through my emails. I try and make them as conversational as I possibly can. And I try to invite interaction. But really, that's a one-way conversation. And I was super interested at that time I still am, in getting to know who was listening to us. Like, I really wanted a way to connect with people because it just kind of felt a little lonely on that side of the computer, you know? And I wanted a way to touch base with who was paying attention to us and find out what they actually needed and how we could help. And so I just said to Josh, like, screw it. I'm going to start a Facebook group. Like, I really feel as though, well, and now I know, one of my strengths is building community. And mostly that's just a mixture of me being nosy and a nurturer. So I love to get to know people. I used to be a bartender, so I can talk your face off. And so it really helped. Like, the minute we opened it, it was like everything shifted for us. I started being able to ask direct questions and get direct feedback. I was able to start doing market research and finding out exactly what they wanted and being able to create it and then deliver it right then and there. I've been able to just get inside people's heads and to spot the different common themes or phrases people are using, like even that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And just, I really feel also the power with Facebook groups is, yes, community and connection, but connecting others. I really think that's where the power of FB groups come in, because I don't know all the things, you know? So I try to connect people with others who can help each other out. And then that just kind of solidifies even the community more, because it kind of bakes in an idea of, okay, sweet, this is a group effort. It's not just Jill, you know, yapping at us. She actually wants to help. And that truly, truly was a big game changer in our business because it allowed me to have that deeper connection, that more direct connection.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. You're saying that, you know, because I do a lot of email marketing, it can be so hard sometimes to try and find the right words to, and to feel that if you are sending out lots of emails, that you're actually sending out useful content and things that speak to people. And I guess if you're in regular contact with your community every day and you're listening to them, then it's going to help so much with that. And I was looking before and your community is something, is it like 5,500 or something like that you've got in your main group?
Just on the cusp of like 7,000 right now.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
So it's been a busy few days with people joining. I just did Amy Porterfield's podcast. And I feel like that kind of created a bit of a flood of people in because it kind of just exploded in the last few days with a few hundred members. But yeah, just on the cusp of 7,000.
Blimey. And how long has it taken you to grow? How long have you had this particular group?
I hit 5,000 at the end of last year.
Right.
So that was from April until the end of December, I hit 5,000 without ads or anything like that. That was just me either pimping it on interviews like this or in guest posts or features or just through our website. Like I have all our buttons and links and all that sort of stuff. We really pimp it hard.
Yeah. And that's what's really interesting because obviously the kind of received wisdom, isn't it? That you need to have an opt-in where you get people to give you their email. And then, I mean, I've got on my website, I've got a 5-day press release writing course and I've got a few other opt-ins that people can take. But actually, it's quite a brave step to say, actually, all you do, I think, is you just invite people to join your Facebook group. And is that right? That seems to be your main...
Yeah, that is a main focus of mine. Like if I'm going to get a link on someone's site, if I've written a guest post or, you know, at the end of this interview, you're probably going to say, where can people find out more about you? And I'm going to say, come to my Facebook group.
That
kind of thing. Like I really push it there. Whereas most people are like, oh, opt in for my free blah, blah, blah. But I know if I can get someone into my group and they're aligned with what we're trying to do, I will get them on my list anyways. So we still do list building on our site. It's just in a very specific way, which I can break down, of course. It's more related, like I don't have a general opt-in. So we do a lot of sales funnels and that's how we build our list. So we have a very specific strategy for how we do that, but we are always list building for sure. It's just I also want to also build the group and then build the list more.
and when you think about it, I mean, it sounds like you've got lots of sales funnels, but is the Facebook group like the first step? For most of the people that come into your community, that's the first place that they come and then they might opt into something. Is that kind of how it works? It sounds like it's quite complex and you've got lots going on.
Yeah, there's quite a few entry points into our brand, which when we were first starting out, we just had one opt-in and that's the only way you could roll with us. But now it's kind of like this, that, and everything. So I think the first point of contact before was very much our podcast. So when we were really hammering our podcast, we've now stepped away from it. But when we were doing that, I think that for the most part was the first point of contact with people. Apart from that, a bunch of different pieces of strategic content that we have on our site. So now we run ads to those pieces of content. So that is definitely one of the first touch points. I don't drive ads to my group. However, like I said, I have it all over my site. And then the minute you opt into anything on our site, A, on the thank you page, it prompts you to join the group. And B, in the welcome email, the email that you get where it's like, download whatever it is, I say step one, obviously download that. And then step two, come join the Facebook group. So it's very much something that I'm constantly pushing.
And I think I heard you saying somewhere or read you saying somewhere that on things like your Instagram account, things like that, that actually you've straight to the Facebook group rather than other opt-ins. That's where you send people.
Yeah, I have it on all my social media bios.
Right.
I don't drive anything to my website. I much rather get them into my group. And then just like I have a button on our main navigation bar on our website. We have it on our sidebar. I pretty much pimp it everywhere.
Right. And it's obviously working really well for you. And how does that sort of translate into sales then? Because I guess it's always a bit like if people are kind of arriving in your Facebook group or they're opting into something, then you're almost... I guess it's that kind of know, like, and trust factor that you're warming them up, you're getting to know them, they're getting to know you. And there's all that research, isn't there, to show that people need something like 8 points of contact with you before they'll buy anything. And I guess that's the end point, isn't it? You want them to buy your products and services or... Yeah. But I guess, I guess that's not necessarily true. I know that I always say to people that I've got lots of free content and opt-in content and people never buy from me. That's absolutely fine. If they find it useful, that's great. But obviously, the end game is obviously you want some of those people to convert.
Of course. Like I'm running a business, not just a freaking hobby.
Yeah.
You know? Like yeah. I'm doing everything with a purpose, but I'm not just like take, take, take. In fact, I'm 90% give and then 10% take. So the way we do it is we follow a strategy which we learned from James Schramko called the octopus. I actually don't know if he called it the octopus, but we were like, oh, this is like an octopus. We're just going to call it the octopus. So here's how it rolls. If you are in my Facebook group, this is how it will play out. So I will ask, I'll poll my Facebook group and I'll say, I'm doing the next round of huge blog posts or whatever, these monster blog posts. We call them read magnets. So just free pieces of content. What do you want to learn? And I'll list out 3 to 5 different topics that we're tossing around in our heads that we're thinking about writing. And I'll put it to the group. And then whichever one is the most voted on, I'll then write that post. And then I come back into the group and I say, remember when, you know, I asked you guys what you wanted and you said you wanted sales funnels? Here's the post on how to create a dangerously effective sales funnel. So I post that post in my group. People go read it. Then on that page, I have a very hyper-specific lead magnet, which is related to that specific post. So in the sales funnel example, which is the blog post is how to create a dangerously effective automated sales funnel. That lead magnet is to get the emails I use in our sales funnels. Because so many times people think, well, I don't know what to say. You know, so I'm just like, screw that. Here's what you say. Just use it and adopt it to your own voice and use it as inspiration. And then once they've opted into that, they're immediately presented with an opportunity to get our course from Inside Screw You, which is our main offer. And I'll touch on that in a second, called the perfect sales funnel. So everything is flowing and everything is streamlined around one particular topic. So if you've read that piece of content and then you've opted in to get my emails, and then you're now presented with a chance to get our entire course on how to create the perfect sales funnel, it's almost an automatic yes. You know, you've already gotten this far. You're already this interested in it. So then if people choose to buy that, then they go down a sequence, which then I'll say, okay, so now you know how to create an automated sales funnel or perfect sales funnel or whatever. Why don't you come join us inside Screw You? Because a sales funnel isn't the be-all, end-all of your business. And inside Screw You, we have this, 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 and this. So it's kind of like I'm moving them towards Screw You at all points on my website. So what we do is we fracture out the courses we have inside Screw You and sell them as standalones, which I get the topics for from polling my Facebook group.
Wow. It sounds like it runs like a smoothly a well-oiled engine. Has it always been that way, or has it taken a little bit of kind of?
No, it's definitely never always been that way. It's been that way for the last like maybe 6 to 8 months.
Right.
But this has been a 3-year journey. So it really was just trying to figure out, like the minute we went, like Screw You used to be a one-off digital product that we would sell for $2,000 a pop. And we just kind of hated starting out at square one every single month and trying to top last month's revenue. Like it just stressed us out. And so we decided to bring all of our products under one hub, which is now Screw You. And it's now a monthly membership site. So everything we have is now inside that membership, which allows us the opportunity to fracture things out and sell them as one standalones, which then obviously gives people a taste of what Screw You is all about and then ushers them into that membership.
It's really interesting because I was looking at it before because I've recently launched my first kind of standalone product and I've got a coaching program, but I am looking to turn my standalone product into more of a membership group because the thing that kind of worries me, you know, I've got an off-the-shelf course that people can buy to teach themselves how to do PR and I do offer some kind of coaching calls that people can get involved on in that. But I kind of think that when you're doing this kind of work, it's the community that you really need. And you sometimes you just need to ask somebody a question, don't you? And you just need to, you know, have that community. And it might not necessarily be me that they need to ask. It might be other, you know, peers who are trying to do the same thing. So I'm looking at how I can, you know, take that and the other little courses that I've got and then turn them into kind of a membership, you know, monthly membership community, because that's the bit that I feel is missing. I feel that I've got people out there who are learning how to do this stuff and it's good, you know, it's good content, they're good materials, but actually what happens when you, you know, in my case, I'm teaching them how to get press coverage, you know, what happens, you send out an email to an editor, they come back with something unexpected or something happens you weren't expecting. You need to be able to go and ask somebody or, you know, and get some advice. So I'm looking at doing the same. So it's really kind of interesting, the model that you've got actually is kind of really what I'd love to have. So it's really, really, really interesting to see how you've made that work. And back to the...
I was just going to say I can't rave enough about it. And also I think a big plus of membership sites and why I think it's a smart idea for, if I do say so myself, why you go for it. It keeps people, it gives it, you have skin in the game. Mm. You know what I mean? Like they have skin in the game because they're paying month to month. You have skin in the game. Everyone has a vested interest in showing up and bringing their A game. And so that's one of the biggest benefits, I think, to memberships.
Yeah. And certainly, I just think, like I said, I worry about the people who are doing my courses. And I think I don't want them to get stuck and have a question and think, you know, that they can't get it answered. I want them to have as many opportunities as possible to come and ask questions and to get advice, you know, so they can actually put things into action and kind of make it all work. So, and just back to the Facebook groups a second, because I've got a few. So I've got some for my coaching programs and they work absolutely brilliantly. I mean, they just work so well, but these are kind of quite small group coaching programs. I've got one that's tied to my free opt-in, and I have to say I'm not personally, you know, that happy with it, because I feel that, you know, I kind of get in there, I try and kind of whip people up a little bit, but get them talking about stuff, and sometimes it's lively, sometimes it's less lively, and I know it's something that I really need to work on. And I was really interested to hear when I heard you being interviewed by Natalie just about your content schedule and how you've got a really kind of, well almost like the same kind of content schedule that you'd have for a blog or a podcast or something like that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to say that I'm super crafty with it, but really I just use Meet Edgar. But I have theme posts. So I really think that theme posts help to spur engagement and conversation. Obviously, when you're first starting out, it's going to be a little, like it's probably going to be crickets unless for some reason you get a flood of people in there and it's just already awesome. But in the beginning, you're really going to have to work at it. So for my theme posts, so for example, I would say like Monday's Monday mantras. And so at the beginning, no one's really chiming in. So I would kick it off and say, well, my favorite mantra this week is blah, blah, blah. So I was pretty much answering my own questions and participating in my own threads in the beginning to really kick off that conversation. Because if you think about it, in a new group, rarely do people want to be the first ones. They kind of want to be encouraged and supported and not feel like they're putting themselves out there too much in a way that, you know, they might come across as quote unquote silly or stupid or something like that. So I wanted to give them a space where I would share, I would go first. Even with conversation starters, like when I used to do conversation starters or icebreakers, I would share something silly about myself, or I would get vulnerable, or I would share, you know, a little behind the scenes kind of thing into my life. I kicked it off so that people would know, okay, it's cool, it's safe, or it's fine to open up. So I really think that that's important. And then also you can obviously veer off your theme days and mix it up a little. Like I love nothing more than giving people a platform. So if I feel like it, then I'll say like, why don't we all follow each other on Instagram? Or why don't you share your favorite podcast? Or, you know, all that kind of stuff and just really kick it into high gear.
Yeah.
It's just, you got to figure out what works for you. And, so, and you
I
have
guess
to
you're
adjust
spending-
course.
Sorry to interrupt. I guess you're spending quite a few hours in there every day, are you? Quite a bit of time investment.
In the beginning, I was spending at least 2 to 3 hours in there. But now it's paid off. Like now my community runs on its own pretty much. Like there's some real stars in there and it's such a supportive place. So if anyone's new and they're introducing themselves, people will always welcome them. Everyone's super chill. I'm pretty just clear and I just really enforce some serious rules. Like there's no promotion unless it's prompted. You can't just obviously be negative or mean or anything like that. So I drop the hammer. I ain't afraid to ban a fool if someone's gonna, you know, kind of go off script or kind of mess with the group. So now it's a bit more hands off. Like I maybe spend 30 minutes to an hour in there each day. But I mean, it could be less if I wanted it to. I just don't want it to be.
Yeah, it's just that kind of initial upfront investment. And I think I remember you saying you have a mantra on Monday. Can you run me through the week, what you have in the different days of the week?
So I have Monday mantra, Tuesday tools day, right. Wednesday wins day, where everyone shares their wins. And then Thursday Q&A, Friday, which is where you get to, you know, pimp yourself out. And then Saturday is our weekend warriors post. So I get everyone to share their office of the day. And then Sunday is my favorite. Sunday is Scroopy Sunday.
Right.
So our members call themselves Scroopies. This wasn't something I came up with. Someone actually was creative enough to come up with Scroopies.
Wow.
So that is where I encourage other members to shout each other out.
Right.
So anyone who's helped someone that week or they were blown away or really feel grateful by a certain member, I ask them to share that so that everyone can feel supported and like they're a part of the family.
Fantastic. And you mentioned that you use Meet Edgar, the scheduling tool. I use it as well, actually. I've just started using it. And to get that all kind of lined up, which I guess means that you can set that up a week or two in advance and it's posting and it's kind of happening. You don't actually have to be physically there. Obviously, you said you need to drop in for half an hour a day or whatever now, but you can schedule ahead. You can be out sunning yourself on the beach or being cold in Toronto.
Except I'm in winter, so I wish.
Yeah. The thing I love about Meet Edgar, actually, I'm going to link to it in the show notes. I was using CoSchedule to schedule my post for a while. And obviously that links to your work. If you've got a WordPress site, it links to your, WordPress stuff. But I was getting frustrated because I was having to upload the same content over and over again. It was driving me nuts. Whereas Meet Edgar allows you to create a library of content, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And in different kind of categories. So once you've put that post up once, then it's kind of there and you can mix it. I think they've just introduced something where you can shuffle it, can't they, as well, which is absolutely great.
So I use that function for my Twitter profile because I kind of loathe Twitter. So I just do the very basics of it. And then I also use it for my Facebook page, the shuffle option. For the group, I use dedicated schedules.
Yeah.
So there's no like, oh, what are we going to get today? It's always the same thing on the same
Because you can do it once only in Meet Edgar, can't you? So you can actually, because I'm going to do that for some of my groups. I've started doing particular posts on particular times and particular days. I guess you have to experiment with timings and things like that. What's the best time of day to post and that kind of thing? Is that something that you've had to kind of work through or has that happened sort of naturally?
To be honest, no. I haven't even thought about posting at the best times. Like I understand, obviously, that has merit. I just am of the mindset where I wanted to kick people's days off with those. So mine always go out at 8 a.m.
Okay.
Mostly because a lot of people in my audience are still in their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, so they're just sitting down to their desk or they're on the train or they're on the bus or they're walking or whatever it is. So I just kick off the conversation bright and early. And then kind of let it flow from there. I mean, I'm fortunate enough that now, finally, 10 months later, it's pretty active. So I don't really have to worry. But I mean, I haven't even changed up those posts. I don't even want to admit how long. I'm not even going to admit it.
And I heard you talking, I think a little while ago, I think it's when I first came across you and Josh, actually, was talking about guest posting and how that had impacted on your business. So that's something that we talk about quite a bit on this podcast. So I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I actually think really getting attention is pretty much everything online. That's how you stand out. That's how you beat out the competition. That's how you carve out a space for yourself. So one thing we do is we get really purposeful with our guest posting. So I don't just look for sites to write for that I know of. I do smart searches. So you open up a Google search and you brainstorm a list of synonyms that are related to your niche. So if you had a health coaching business, maybe it's like weight loss tips or meal ideas or, I don't know, at-home workouts or health coaching or health and wellness or healthy living or whatever it is. Just brainstorm a list of those synonyms and then create a list of search queries. So these are things like write for us or contribute or guest post or guest blogger or whatever it is. And then you open up a Google search and you type in your synonym. So for example, health and wellness. And then in quotes, you write for us. Just to reiterate, your synonym is not in quotes. And then your search query, like write for us or guest post or contribute, is in quotes. And what this will do is tell Google that you only want to see results from sites that have the words write for us somewhere listed on their site and are relevant to health coaching or weight loss tips or meal prep or whatever. And typically those words exist in the form of a link and it'll take you straight to their submission guidelines. And then you just read through what they're looking for and craft your pitch. So that's how we do it. So it's very purposeful. It really helps to cut out a lot of the bullshit target directly who you think is aligned with your audience.
And it's really interesting because obviously one of the things I teach people is to get coverage in kind of high profile publications. Like obviously I'm based in the UK, so the BBC and The Guardian and The Huffington Post and things like that. But I often say to my clients, I was sort of make them take a step back and say, well, actually, could you achieve what you want to achieve? Might it actually be better to do guest blogging, or actually smaller blogs might actually get you the results that you want? So I'll always kind of question people, you know, is this really going to help you achieve your objective? So have you sort of gone for the big boys, as it were? Have you guest posted for big sites, or have you tended to go for more niche industry type sites?
Right now, I feel like for the last year or so, I've really been focusing on doing this kind of promotion, like interviews, videos, that kind of thing, because I feel A, it's way less time consuming.
Yeah.
And B, I am a talker. So I say I'm in charge of the four C's: community, content, communication, and coverage. And so I feel as though one of my strengths is getting on the phone with people just like you and really bringing some exposure and some coverage to the screw, because like I said, I have the gift of gab. And so I feel like I can communicate like why people should sit up and pay attention to the screw better through interviews than I can through guest posts. So for me, I haven't really gone after the big dogs for guest posting yet. I mean, I've written for the Huffington Post or Under 30 CEO and Laura Roeder site and stuff like that. But for the most part, I really enjoy doing interviews.
Right. Yeah. For me, I mean, I do lots of podcast interviews, but writing's my thing. I've been a journalist for 15 years, so I kind of tend to enjoy that and I find it quite easy to do. But I guess it's easy to get sucked in and sort of think you have to go, you know, you have to have those kind of big names. But actually, sometimes getting on a really an industry or a niche site or a podcast that's just right for your audience can, I mean, I've been on some quite big podcasts, but I found sometimes that it's the smaller ones that have actually sent me the most traffic or sent me the most signups and that kind of thing, because they're just really, really kind of interested in what I do. And one other thing I wanted to ask you, just a nosy question. This is my nosy journalist question.
I feel you. I'm nosy too.
So what's it like working with your husband then? How's that?
Yeah, I feel like now it's a lot better. After 4 years later, it was a process. I'm not going to lie. I've never sugarcoated it. Divorce days are a real thing. And it's a balance, you know, like we've really had to figure out our dynamics and our strengths. And I think the biggest thing has come through really trusting the other person to own their role and not stepping into their lane. You know what I mean? Like in the beginning, I think Josh and I always, we wanted to be the ones who were right. Like I wanted to be right. He wanted to be right. And it just presented a whole bunch of bullshit. But once we started really getting clear on, okay, he is fantastic at the automation strategy and tech side of things, and I'm fantastic at community coverage, content, and communication. And since we got clear on that, like I don't even think of touching his side of things. And he would never think of touching my side of things. Like, that's why you'd never see him in the Facebook group unless someone posts a picture of a pug. Like,
yeah.
That's really the only thing that'll get him in the Facebook group. But that's not his strength. He doesn't love sitting in there and chatting with people all day. He has other things that he's best suited for. So really, once we got clear on that and we had the trust to really, like I said, just trust that the other person has their side of the business, that really helped things out. And having a solid morning routine. So we call them our wake up and break up morning routines.
All right.
So we wake up and then we'll go do our separate workouts. So I work out in the morning and then he'll work out later. But it gives us, you know, the hour, hour and a half away from each other to just like start our day, get our heads right, and then come back and power through our stuff.
And I guess you need that because it must be pretty intense. I know me and my husband, we've worked together on projects before. I mean, we still work together, though my husband's got his own business, but he does all the design for my website and he does all the anything design and to do with the podcast or my blog or anything like that. And we have got to that kind of happy space where basically I just tell him what I want him to do, and he just does it. And we've got a process now. Like, I think, you know, it took a while. We've got a process now where for a podcast, I know I need certain bits of artwork, and now he knows what they are, and he just puts them in the Dropbox, and you know, I just tell him what they are. But it takes a while.
And do you know what divorce days are?
Oh God, yeah. And sometimes I say to my assistant, actually, she says to me, I've just looked at your free download, or I've just looked at that image and it's not quite right. And then I say, well, do you want to ask him? Because I don't want to go back.
Because I'm not touching.
Because I don't want to go back and ask him to change it. And so sometimes she'll say, oh, you know, is that kind of divorce breaker type thing? But it is a kind of a tough thing. And what's in the future for you? What's coming up for you? What are your plans for the sort of coming months or years? Where do you see it all going?
It's funny. Like, I want to plan far in advance for this, but honestly, this time last year, I didn't even know about monthly memberships. Like, I knew about them, but I couldn't have imagined myself having one and loving it the way I do. So I have no clue what to expect in the next year. I'm just kind of along for the ride. All I know is that I want to build a movement. Like, that's truly, like, my eye is on the prize for that kind of thing. So I don't know what that looks like. I just know I want The Screw to become a lifestyle brand in some sort of capacity. So there's definitely like a training element to it. Then maybe there's, I don't know, digital magazine, there's live events. I don't know how this is all going to play out. All I know is that I want to go big with it.
Wow. And it's just so reassuring to hear, because I think sometimes when you see people who, you know, they've got a great business, you kind of imagine it's all planned out every step of the way. And actually, it's really reassuring to hear somebody say, well, I kind of, you know the things I'd like to happen, but actually, it's just lovely to hear. So, and very reassuring. Thanks so much for that. It's been so useful. And I'm sure, like, when I heard your interview with Natalie, I kind of went off, and I think I was driving when I listened to it. And I was kind of like, you know, when you want to pull over and you want to start taking notes, and I immediately started. I think actually, I was driving to the gym, and then when I got to the gym, it was almost like I needed to kind of, like, you know, halt my workout so I could go and make some notes. But I'm sure people will be the same. Sort of, you know, I was turning it over in my head thinking, well, you know, I could do this better, and how could I do this better? And for me, you know, community, I'm very sort of focused on community. I think that's somewhere like you where I enjoy actually going in and chatting to people and helping people. And so my mind was going over and over when I heard that, and I'm sure that lots of people will be the same. So where can we find you online? Obviously,
you
the
know
Facebook
I'm going
to
say. No, but you can come join our free Facebook group over at screwcommunity.com. Or if you just want to check out what we're all about, then head on over to screwthe9to5.com, and it's all spelt out.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for that, and good luck. It's been so useful. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Janet.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, do head over to the show notes at janetmurray.co.uk/episode33, where you can find all the links to the things that we spoke about in this episode, including Jill's Facebook group. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/episode33.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.